Good morning. Turn back to 1 John. And I'd like to speak on just a few verses before we come to chapter 4. In 3:17, John 3:17. The attributes of the love of God, or one of the attributes of the love of God, is set before us so that we can know that the love of God, so that we can know something about the love of God. And it says here in 3:17, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Well, the love of God is inconsistent with such actions. The love of God, God saw us fallen in Adam. But he didn't shut up his bowels of compassion from us, because his love is of such character that it wouldn't allow for that. And our love to one another, to the gospel, to his people, ought to be of that same character, although our love for God is not perfect. Our faith is not perfect. Our redemption is not perfect. There's nothing perfect about us in this flesh. And we're saved by grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price. He paid off all our debts, lock, stock, and barrel. There are no sins on our record in glory. That's a blank page. There are no sins charged to us in heaven because we are in Jesus Christ, who paid our debts, who put all sin away, and in him is no sin. So the love of God won't sit still and watch its object be destroyed. Now we can depend on that. How dwelleth, if you see your brother, set it in the, have need and shut up your bowels of compassion against him, how dwelleth? In other words, the love of God is just not there. So that tells us that the love of God always secures the blessing of its object. Well, maybe today I will, or tomorrow, no. It's constant, because our God is constant. He said, "I am the Lord," Malachi 3:6, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, because I change not, because my love is constant, because my purpose of grace is unalterable, because salvation is of and in the Lord. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Well, we really should be thankful for that, shouldn't we? That God never changes. His love is always fixed and constant on its object, and it is not because of anything in themselves. God loves according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. And he told Jeremiah, "Yea, the Lord hath said unto me, Yea, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Therefore, by loving kindness have I drawn you." Now, if those who believe the gospel, those who it to whom it is given to believe from the heart that form of doctrine which we call the gospel, the doctrine of Christ. It's not because anything in you, not because anything you ever did, ever will do, it's not because of how, nothing about you. It's according to God's purpose for His glory, for His own glory, that He chose you to salvation, set His love upon you, and that implies time, which there's no time involved. It's just the frailty of our mode of communicating that we can't speak without a reference to time, but God loved you without beginning. It has no beginning, has no end. It's in God, who is the beginning. Anyway, the love of God must absolutely, without fail, always secure the blessing of its object. Now, we believe that God hath loved us because He has given us the very best thing that He has. Now, you don't give away the most precious thing that belongs to you. You don't give it to somebody that you don't care something about. He's given us His Son. He gave Himself to us and for us to put away our sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Now that's some good news. Our salvation's not conditioned on us. Not conditioned on what we'll do sometime down the road. God knows every thought that will pass through your brain all your life long. But He says, I have loved them. Every evil thought, every wicked thought, God knows all about that. And He's determined to save His people. He called them His people. Look at first John chapter 4 verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son, the propitiation for our sins. Not to be a propitiation. That's added by the translator. He is the propitiation. He's always been the propitiation. Christ Jesus, the propitiation. The satisfaction of God's law and justice. The one who reconciles the people of God. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son the propitiation for our sins. Now look down at verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. Look back as far as you were able. Back before the stars were made. Back before the angelic host was made. Before anything was made. God loved you. God knew you. God purposed in Himself to bring you to glory. for His glory. Everlasting, never changing love of God. Now, in most pulpits, God's love's on and off. That's what they declare. Well, God loves you. Now, you know He does. God loves everybody. That's what they say. But you better watch out, He's going to put you in hell if you don't repent. That's just funny. It's pitiful, but it's funny. Yeah, you better watch out, because God may change His mind. Well, that implies a changing God. Well, who is He today if He changes? What's His mind today? Is He like Jack the Ripper or somebody else? We don't know. Our God is the rock. He never changes.
Amen.
A changing God is a miserable, is not the God of the Bible. One who changes his mind, who changes his purpose, who, if you don't do so and so, he's going to put you in hell. And the love of God that this world preaches, you know, what's it worth? If God loves all men, as most preachers today say that He does, and you know it's true that they say that. Well, if God loves all men, and straight is the gate, and narrow the way, and few there be that find it, and broad is the gate, and wide is the way that leads to destruction, many there be that go at, then the most of those whom God has loved are gone to hell in spite of God's love. Now, what kind of love is that? If the Lord Jesus... Now, that's... that's no love at all. That's a pitiful, weak love that cannot deliver its object. That's not the love of God. And to say that the Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood for all men, that He died for all men, is just as pitiful and weak, because the biggest part of those for whom Christ died have perished in spite of His sacrifice. That's not redemption. That's not biblical redemption. That's a pitiful excuse. That's of religion that men have dreamed up. And what about the call of the Spirit? There is no such thing as an effectual call according to those who believe in free willism. Because the biggest part of those who He calls, if He calls everybody the same as they say He does, then the biggest part of those whom He has called has perished anyway. So when man takes in his hand to reshape God's salvation, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He has ruined it from beginning to end. It's all based on the love and purpose of God, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, and the effectual call of the Holy Spirit, and they deny each and every one of them. And that way, there is a way that seemeth right to man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. But God loved the people before the foundation of the world, purposed in Himself to bring them to glory, wrote their name in the Lamb's Book of Life, sent His Son into this world to satisfy law and justice on their behalf. The Son came into this world and did satisfy law and justice on the behalf of the elect of God, and the Holy Spirit calls them with the effectual call, and they come when they're called. Now that's just simple. 1, 2, 3. It's God's purpose, God's doing, God's will. It's based on the love of God. There are some people that God absolutely will not allow to perish. Well, that brings the question, does God love all men? Absolutely not. He does not love all men. God hateth the workers of iniquity. Look at Psalm 5:5. Psalm 5:5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Well, who are the foolish? Well, that's unbelievers. That's unbelievers. Those who will not bow to the Word of God. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. And the workers of iniquity are false preachers. Out spreading free will lies. That's just who they are. Look at Psalm 53. Psalm 53, it's just 6 verses. I'm going to read through it. The fool hath said in his heart, no God. Corrupt are they. They have done abominable iniquity. There's none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them has gone back. They are together become filthy. They are none. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now, in ourselves, in what we are in nature, that's us exactly. God didn't love us because of what we are in nature. He loved us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose us in the Lord Jesus Christ as members of His body. Verse 4. Had the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, they have not called upon God. There they were in great fear where no fear was. For God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame because God hath despised them. And all these church billboards that's got God loves you are all liars. And all these back of the car plates that God loves you, they're all liars. God loves whom He loves and God hates whom He hates. And He said, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy and I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. But He said, I will have mercy. I'm going to be merciful to my people. I'm going to put away their sin. And I'm not going to regard their iniquity. I'll deal with them as children. I'll take the rod to them if I need to. But I'm not, they're not going to be. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Look at this. Thou hast put them to shame because God hath despised, and God despised them so much that He scattered their bones. It wasn't that He despised them just a little. If the love of God is infinite, the wrath of God is the same, and He scattered their bones. He says, "Well, I'm so tired of looking at this bunch. I'm going to do away with them." Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when God shall bring back the captivity of His people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Look at Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? And God replies, was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid all his mountains waste, mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Now, not only did he hate Esau, but he hated Esau's descendants. And he destroyed what they built. Because he says here, whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I'll throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness, the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. Now, what a blessed people we are that we can enjoy the gospel. And know that God has loved us from everlasting. Now, go back again in your mind, far as you can go, and think of God thinking on you. God thought on us. He thought on the covenant. He thought on the Redeemer. He thought on the... Everyone whose name He enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life. He thought on us with an unchangeable love, and that is your foundation. We're not just the Lord just say, well, I think I'll save this one. No. God has the purpose to save us from the days of eternity.
Amen.
Set His love on us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Loved us with an unchangeable love. And before God would lose one of His people, He'd have to vacate the throne. He wouldn't be God. If it was possible that one of the Lord Jesus Christ's sheep could ever perish. Now, He said, I've pledged my holiness. Salvation is the Lord's work and His purpose, by His means, by His call, and it cannot fail. Go back to 1 John chapter 4. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, it says, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. If you believe in your heart of hearts that the Lord Jesus Christ is God in human flesh, the Son of God, that He has all power in heaven and earth, and that He is the mediator of the everlasting covenant of grace, that He is as much man as though He were not God, and He's as much God as though He were not man. He is the God-man. And He had to be that to be the mediator, and He is the only mediator. If you believe that, then God has graced you. God has given you to believe on His Son, and has called you with the Holy Call. Let's look here at the first few verses of 1 John 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, everyone that pretends to speak in the name of the Holy Spirit, or every spirit that comes to you with suggestions in your mind. But try the spirits where they are of God, because many false prophets... Now that's primarily what he's talking about, is false preachers. Many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Everyone that has the accurate message of the doctrine of Christ is of God. Everyone who twists it, turns it, changes it, makes God the lover of all men, makes the Lord Jesus Christ shed for the sins of all men, makes the call of the Spirit ineffectual, they're not of God. They're just not of God. They have the wrong message. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Now it was in the world then, and it's in the world today. Antichrist is present with us, and he's not going to be cast out until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But his destruction is sure. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, that is, those who are of the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist. You've overcome them. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now look over for just a minute at chapter 5 and verse 4. For whoso whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, now you don't have to go out and move a mountain. Or you don't have to go out and win 49 souls to Christ every day. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the work. believe on Him. Back to chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. They that are of the world, they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. They have uncircumcised ears. They cannot hear this message. And they have an uncircumcised heart to go with it. Ye are of God, we are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. You love the gospel? That's a testimony to you that you're of God. You hate the gospel? Are you indifferent against, about the gospel? Well, chances are God don't know you. That's just how it is. You are of God. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. He don't want to hear us. He's not interested in this message. This message doesn't... He can't close with this message. Can't love this message. He can't abide in this message. He doesn't like to sit under this message. Because it's offensive to him.
Yeah.
Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Those who despise the gospel and love an erroneous message are of the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Well, now something drew each of us here this morning. And it wasn't because Jerry Fain and I are good looking. Oh, me. As Brother Jerry alluded to a minute ago. But it's because of a love that's in your heart for what's preached here.
Amen.
Nobody comes here because it's a social center of any place. The attraction here is what's preached right here.
Exactly.
It's what brought me here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm satisfied it's what brought you all here. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Well, the love of God existed from eternity without beginning, but it's manifested, it's made manifest in this love. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins, or the satisfaction to God's law and justice for our sins. Look at Matthew 23:23. Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, and they was the religious elite of their day. Hypocrites. For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Justice or judgment, and mercy and faith. The weightier matters of the law. Well, the Lord sent His Son into this world for His people to satisfy justice in their behalf. To satisfy the justice of God. He is a propitiation for our sins. And mercy, God has loved us and has had mercy on us, and by His grace has sent us someone to justify us from all things, from which we could not be justified by the law. And faith. Faith is that by which we know we are the children of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. It wouldn't do you and I any good to pass through this world being the children of God if God didn't let us know. Well, there wouldn't be any comfort there for us. But God in grace does let us know. And the vehicle that He does use to do that is faith. He makes us to know that we are the children of God through belief of His Word. And the vehicle there is the preaching of the gospel and the power of the Spirit to make it effectual to whom He will. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. This people have I formed for myself. They will show forth my glory. That we ought to love one another, just on that account. Because we are that new creation that is created in Christ Jesus. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given to us of His Spirit, by that Spirit we know God. I'll pray the Father, and He'll send you another Comforter, that He may dwell with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. He gives us His Spirit. John 14:17. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent His Son, the Savior of the world. Anyone who's saved in this world is saved by the same Savior, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that He's the Savior of all men. He's not. He didn't come to save all men. He came to save His people from their sins. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Let's read that again. Whosoever shall confess from the heart that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, ye in me, and I in you. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Well, how do we know? By His Spirit that dwells in us. And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Thy children shall be taught of God, and great shall be the peace of thy children. We understand and believe what we understand and believe because we are taught of the Lord. He sends His Spirit into our heart, and it is His work, it's the Holy Ghost work in our heart, to unveil the gospel to us, to prepare our ears and our heart to hear and understand the gospel. And to us, well, it just makes perfectly good sense. To the world, there's just a blockage there. They can't hear it. They're not interested in it. They're rebellious against it. And you cannot change them, and I can't change them. That's the work of God. All we can do is tell them the gospel. And it's up to the Holy Ghost whether they hear it. And we don't have the right to tell anybody, well, God loves you. We don't know that. And every preacher gets up in front of a congregation and says, now God loves you and I love you. Well, he's lying on both counts. He don't know that God loves him. And therefore he's a liar because he probably don't love him. He just lied to him. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. You ever worry about the judgment? Well, what sin did the Lord put away? All sin, A-double-L. So how much have you left on your record? None. But what's happened? He's justified you and made you the righteousness of God in himself. God's not going to complain about his own righteousness. And he's not going to find any fault with it. And he's not going to find any fault with his own holiness. And that is his holiness. We are holy in the holiness that of Christ Jesus. Because we're in Christ. As he is, so are we in this world. Well, there it is. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We have no judgmental fear of death. We know we've got to die. We hate leaving our family, and we dread the pain that's going to come with death and that. But death is going to be an open and a welcome door to the children of God. It's a deliverance from us, for us, from evil nature and from this world. We love him because he first loved us. He loved us and taught us the gospel, gave us a heart of love, and caused us to love him. And that's the fulfillment of the law. Not that our walk fulfills the law. Christ Jesus did that. But the Lord said this is the fulfillment, that the man loves his neighbor as himself. If man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. And he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Well, we're thankful. I want to read you one more verse of scripture, and then I'll close here. I want to read you Philippians 1:29. Now this is very individual, very personal, and very particular. Unto you, who? Believers. Unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Amen.